Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, July 19th. Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. Big changes in the state's child welfare system. I'll be joined by Maura Corrigan later this hour, the director of the Michigan Department of Human Services. Also, the governor signs a new law regarding teacher tenure system, and teachers are not happy. I'll be joined by State Senator Phil Pavlov. He's also the chair of the Senate Education Committee. He'll talk about what the new program involves. But first, the deadline to raise the national $14.3 trillion debt ceiling is now just 2 weeks away. And while some are saying that not doing so would be catastrophic, Republicans in the U.S. Congress remain at odds with the president on the issue. To get the latest, I'm joined by Michigan's 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg. Welcome to the show, Congressman.
Good afternoon, Mike. Good to be on.
Thank you. Now, your position on the issue, are you opposed to raising the debt ceiling, period, or just a plan that does so that includes a tax increase?
Well, I'm opposed to doing any debt ceiling hike unless we do significant cuts in spending. We put caps on future spending so that we don't have to worry about this type of debt ever again. And we also put forward a balanced budget amendment that the states can vote on. And ultimately, if that's the case, if we send it from the House, then and only then would I support an increase in the debt ceiling. Because up until then, we have no promises that we've learned anything. We're not doing anything with common sense like the majority of households and businesses in our communities do, where they stop the spending. They reduce their deficit spending. They cut up the credit cards, and they say, we're not going to do this again. So that's where we're at right now. And I wish that the president had something concrete as an offer on the table. But until and unless, we have to move forward with a cut, cap, and balance, which is supported by a strong majority of the American people as well.
There's certainly a lot of verbiage going back and forth on the issue, but the reality is that failure to raise the debt ceiling would leave the U.S. unable to meet its obligations to holders of Treasury bonds and domestic obligations such as Social Security payments and government pension plans. Is there any real chance that Washington lawmakers would allow that to occur?
No, I don't think so. We're not saying that. And bottom line, let me make it very clear that there is no reason why Social Securities will not be cut and the checks won't be made unless the president chooses to tell Treasury to go out of normal and not send those checks out. We have the resources to do that. The issue is paying our bond indebtedness. That's the concern, and that's where we're working, and we've offered a solution. The president, as of yet, has not offered an alternative.
He's
walked out of rooms. He's put out general vague principles and ideas. He said we must have a tax increase, and yet he knows that that's a non-starter. We will not, and I think the American people spoke very clearly in November about the issue of spending and tax increases. So there are ways to do it very clearly without going to a tax increase route.
I mean, you're right. The president has vowed to veto any legislation that doesn't include higher taxes for America's wealthiest citizens and corporations. It also, though, includes the elimination of tax breaks for these hugely profitable oil companies. What is so disagreeable about taking this kind of action in particular?
Well, if the president wants to deal with closing some loopholes, we've very clearly at the bargaining table said we're open to that. I mean, if that's corporate jets, sure, we can close those loopholes. We're not opposed to that. And our leadership has made that very clear. But I'm not sure the president, unless he just wants to demagogue, is willing to take whacks at corporate oil, for instance, when in fact the majority of pensions for the UAW, for teachers and others, senior citizens, are invested in corporate oil. They want to see that continue to grow if their pensions grow. So I think a lot of demagoguing and dividing is going on and blaming is going on by this president, but an unwillingness to really deal with reality that the American public does not want tax increases. They don't want the government to spend their grandkids' future away from them, and that's what we're doing. And right now, we've offered a plan. We're asking for a vote. The president has indicated that he will likely veto it, but I think if he sees a strong majority which could include Democrats who in the past have voted for these same type of provisions in bygone years, if they come forward now and say, you know, we got to be serious. We have put ourselves into over $14 trillion debt. Mm-hmm. We produced a debt in 2.5 years that it took to all the president's administrations from Washington through H.W. Bush to bring up in equal. That's too much. It can't continue that way, and that's all we're asking for.
Although the raising the debt limit is a completely ordinary event, the limit's been raised 74 times in the last 50 years, 10 times in the last 10. Now, why are we now just now suddenly seeing so much resistance from Republican congressional lawmakers when it's something that's been done so many times in the past?
Isn't that a shame that it has been done so much in the past? And now it's come to a point where it got to be so normal that we put ourselves in a $14 trillion debt. And as I said, Mike, just before, I said it took all of the president's administrations from Washington to H.W. Bush to come up with the same debt spending level that this present administration has done in 2.5 years. That is unbelievable. And we cannot continue on that way. We will destroy. In fact, all the bond firms now, Standard & Poor's, Moody's have said, yes, you need to raise the debt ceiling, but it can't be just that. You got to put structural reforms in place. You have to deal with the spending problem. You have to cut it, and you have to put a structural reform in place that keeps you from doing it again. Otherwise, they may still lower our bond rating, even though we raise the debt ceiling. That's not what I want.
Shouldn't, though, when you're looking at these institutional problems, shouldn't those be dealt with aside from such a pressurized argument? I mean, we're right ahead of this enormous.
What's a better time?
Well, maybe at a time after we go ahead and raise the debt ceiling, and then take maybe a few months to sit and flush out these issues and without all the stress.
That sure worked in the past, hasn't it, Mike? We've raised it 74 times, and we just keep raising it, raising it, raising it. Finally, we get to the point where we're going to have our bond rating reduced because of it. That wasn't the problem in the past. Now it is. We have competition in the world. We have a global economy. We have other countries that are more than simply third world countries, but they're emerging companies with countries with economies that have the potential of growing larger than ours in just a few years. We can't put this thing off. And I think the pressure right now of American people saying enough is enough, and they did so very strongly in November as well. I think the time is now to use that pressure cooker, that grating, as it were, with friction to bring out change that will say to us, we don't want to go through this again, and we're going to fix it now. The president says, oh, let's do the spending cuts and let's raise the debt ceiling and then deal with it after the election. Now, that's what he did with Obamacare, and we've got problems with already. That's the biggest tax increase in the history of the United States already. We've got things that will take place that will put us in greater problems if we just kick the can down the road and expect to deal with it after the pressure's off. No, Mike, I don't think I would be responsible as a representative of the 7th District to do that to the people just for political reasons. Right now, we have to do it for the future of this country.
We don't have we have about a minute left, but I would like to know if you're talking about having no tax increases and just cuts. Can you give me a general sense of where cuts should be targeted? I know that if we don't raise the limit at all, we'd be looking at annually at about $1.3 trillion in spending cuts. So, where would you be targeting those types of cuts?
But I can do better than that. I can tell your listeners to go to the government website, the congressional website, and look up the Republican budget, which is now the House budget because it was passed in a bipartisan fashion several weeks ago, known as the Paul Ryan plan. That put cuts in place that moves us back toward a balanced budget, and it touched all areas of our budget 100%, not just discretionary, military, and foreign aid that the president touched. We can't do that because 60% of the budget comes in the areas of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. We had to look in those areas to make sure that we could secure Social Security for those people that are on Social Security now or soon to be, those people on Medicare now or soon to be, and we did that. And I think that's why it was a bipartisan vote that passed it and sent it to the Senate. The Senate has been totally inactive on it. The president has been totally inactive on it, just demagoguing about it. But we did that in the cuts. They are there. They are there for people to look at how we handle it and move this economy forward. And frankly, that's what we have to do now, or else. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid will go away. CBO has said that unless we mm-hmm. take action right now and save it by doing the right thing with cutting the waste, abuse, the fraud, the unnecessary spending, and turn it back to growing an economy that produces jobs, because the best way to save this economy mm-hmm. is to make sure that our small businesses thrive and provide job opportunities for our citizens.
Well, I certainly want to talk to you a little bit more about the challenges our country faces after this particular issue is resolved. This is I've been talking to 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg. Thank you for joining me, Congressman.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Excellent.
Appreciate